When the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'O, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is that time when we focus upon the birth of our Messiah, our Savior, Jesus. We go back, we're transported to all the events surrounding the birth of Jesus. And we are in awe of the wise men who brought their gifts, the angels who sang glory to God in the highest, the shepherds who came to see the baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph, and Jesus himself. We are thankful for the cast of Christmas, the reason we celebrate, the Christ child. We gather in his name. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this season we are focusing on the cast of Christmas. Last week we looked at Joseph, a humble man, a carpenter, a man with meager means who became the earthly father to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Today we're going to focus on Herod, who was completely opposite of Joseph. Herod was not a humble person. Herod the Great reigned for 33 years and he was a man of arrogance. A man of great wealth, a man who erected palaces in his own honor. 3 miles outside of Bethlehem, he had a mound constructed, and upon the top of the mound was his palace. And at the bottom, surrounding his palace, he had built houses for his friends, complete with a large community swimming pool. And halfway up that mound, a 900-seat theater to entertain his friends and family. But King Herod was concerned mostly of self. He had this insecurity. He was inward-focused that drove him to arrogance and fear of a baby born in Bethlehem. As we consider the response to the coming Christ child, the response of Herod, we first find that Herod was disturbed. Verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him, all the religious leaders were disturbed at the coming child. Now this is because Herod felt threatened. For the King of Kings was going to be born and raised up to take the throne. And so he felt threatened by this baby that was to be born. This insecurity that drove him to fear and to manipulate the events that were about to take place and unfold as visitors came. But he was arrogant, self-centered, and very prideful. Remember Muhammad Ali? In his prime, he was an arrogant man that he proclaimed he was the greatest. There was no one like me. In fact, there was a time it was told that he was upon boarding an airplane and he took his seat and the flight attendant multiple times had to come to him and says, "Sir, we need you to fasten your seatbelt." But he ignored that instruction. And for the last time, she came and said, "Sir, you will not be able to fly on this plane until you fasten your seatbelt." And he looked at her and said, "Ma'am, do you know who I am? I'm Muhammad Ali. I'm Superman. And Superman don't need no seatbelt." She looked at him and said, "Well, Superman don't need no plane either. Fasten your seatbelt." I heard of a Sunday school teacher, a man who he struggled with his pride and arrogance. He had a large ego, and the students, these young kids, they even recognized that in him. And as he's teaching these young students, he asked the question, "Why do people call me a Christian?" And as the students thought about it, one of the little boys said, Oh, maybe it's because they don't know you." Now, King Herod, he had an ego problem. He wanted to be the messianic king, even though not all prophecy pointed to him. He wanted to be the messianic king, the one that all worshipped and adored. But he was disturbed by the announcement. Not only that, because he was disturbed, Herod was deceptive, verse 8. "And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.'" He had no desire to worship this child. He was deceptive. He was manipulating the events that were taking place. He was manipulating the wise men from the east. He was lying to them. He was lying to himself. He deceived himself in raising himself to this high position. He deceived himself in believing this was all about him. The deceiver roams about seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to devour you. He devoured Herod. He was caught in the snare of lies and deception. And so it was no problem for him to deceive others. A young man was shopping at Walmart when he noticed this woman up ahead of him staring at him. And he felt a little uncomfortable and he kept looking away, but as he glanced her way, she continued to stare at him. So he got out of his place and he went up to the lady and said, "Ma'am, why are you staring at me?" She said, "I'm sorry, but you remind me of my late son." She said, "It would mean so much to me if when I leave, if you would wave and say, 'Bye, mother.' That would mean a lot to me." He said, "Well, I would be happy to." Went back to his place in line. And she checked out her items and she began to head out the store. And she turned and waved and he said, "Bye, mother." And he was proud of himself, believing that God had used him to encourage this lady. Well, it finally was his turn at the checkout and placed his items through, and she said, "That'll be $362. He said, "What? $362? I only got a few items." She said, "Yeah, but your mother said you'd pay for hers as well." Now, there are a lot of people in this world who have been ensnared by the deceiver. And they seek to deceive and manipulate because their focus is on self. And that was King Herod. King Herod, he manipulated the world around him to elevate himself to a high position. And through that, he became deceptive. He deceived the wise men. Oh yes, when you find him, come send word where I could too find him and worship the child. But in reality, we find that Herod was despicable. Look at verses 13 and following. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Can you imagine the weeping and wailing that must have risen out of Bethlehem? For here the king, who was despicable, ordered that every male child 2 years and younger, not only in Bethlehem but the surrounding region, be killed. It must have been a night that resembled that night in Egypt when the Passover took place. But here, a deceiving, self-centered, despicable king, threatened by a baby, ordered that every male child, 2 years and under, can you imagine the arrogance and the deception that Herod displayed? There was a professor at the University of Florida that taught history, and he shared with his students a little exercise. He says, imagine you're traveling or you're out late at night walking in the streets of the city. And there you find an old woman all alone walking down the street carrying a large purse. Would you mug the woman and take her purse and all her belongings? Of course, everybody in the class said, "No way. I wouldn't harm her." And the professor asked them this question: why would you not harm the woman? And pretty much every one of them answered the same way: because that which she has in her possession would be very important for her survival. Maybe she's caring for others and they depend on that money that might be in her purse. She certainly might depend on that to live and survive. And we wouldn't want to take that from her. And the professor went on to explain, that's the Christian view. But before Christ, the predominant view was a view of shame and honor. That most would treat others and would not harm the woman because it would bring shame and dishonor to their family. It would dishonor their tribe. And so they held dishonor as very significant and important. But you see, the focus was not upon the woman. The focus was on self. how I would be portrayed, how I would look, how this would affect me and my family. But the way the professor says, since Jesus came, our perception changed. And it's now taking the focus off of me, us, and upon the person, how it would affect the person, how it would affect others. Herod's response was all about self. But as we consider Herod's response today, what about you and me? What about you and me? What should be our response? How should we respond? Well, we should humbly place the needs of others above our own. It's not about me. It's not about us. We must humbly submit to the Savior and give up ourselves. I heard the other day of a preacher that was sharing with a couple the message of Christ. And that couple said to the preacher, "You mean if we give our lives to Christ, we have to change our lifestyle?" And the preacher said, "No, it's way more than that. You have to give up everything. You've got to take up your cross and deny yourself to follow Jesus." And Jesus instructed us to put the needs of others above our own. Not to be looking out for your own interests, but to place the needs of others above your own. We must, unlike Herod, who was arrogant and self-centered, we must take the focus off of self and humbly place the need of others above our own. Not only that, we must speak the truth always. Herod was a deceiver. He manipulated. But we must speak the truth always. Tell the truth. And when we speak of others, when we talk of others, we must only speak of that which is good, that which is excellent, that which is praiseworthy. Those things we learn in Philippians that we should think of, those are the things we should speak. You remember your grandmother telling you, if you can't say anything good about someone, don't say anything at all? You see, when we speak poorly of others, at the least it's gossip. At most it's slander. Even if it's true, whenever we speak of someone in a way to tear them down, to hurt them, to elevate ourselves, it is sin. We are called to love even our enemies. We are called to love our neighbors. We are called to be reconcilers, to reconcile differences. We have been given the ministry of reconciliation between us and God, but also among one another as we extend grace and love and forgiveness. So whenever we speak words and try to tame the tongue, may they be words of life, words of encouragement, good things about others, never tearing another down. And unlike Herod, who was arrogant, unlike Herod, who was deceitful, then we must control and guard our thoughts and actions. We must guard our thoughts and actions, taking our thoughts captive, filling our minds with that which is good, which is excellent, which is praiseworthy, filling our minds with the Scriptures, guarding our every thought, taking every thought captive. Now, I know there are times when we fall. There are times when I said things I shouldn't say. Times you say things you shouldn't say. Times we think things we shouldn't think. Times we do things we shouldn't do. But thankfully, God became one of us. Entered humbly into this world as a baby. grew to become a man who willingly went to a cross. He who knew no sin became our sin so that we can become the righteousness of God. See, sometimes we deceive ourselves. And we make it all about us. King Herod made it all about him. We could even make the worship all about me, all about us. We go to worship and we say, "What's in it for me?" And we've created this consumer mentality in our country when it comes to worship. You get your choice. If it makes you feel good, then go there. When Jesus said, "It's not about you." It's about denying self, sacrificing, taking up your cross daily, following me in the service of others. One of the shepherd boys that was there on the night that the angels proclaimed the birth of Christ grew to be an old man. And the story says that the old man had his grandson on his lap. And he said, "Let me tell you about that night. It was a chilly night. It was a crisp night. But the sky was so clear and the stars were brilliant, especially one star on that night." And we just lied back and enjoyed the beauty of the sky. When all of a sudden, the brilliance was interrupted by the brightness of a heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." And an angel said, "Do not be afraid, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And it was a fearful night as we covered our faces in the brilliance of the light. And many of the shepherds there went to see this baby. But some of us stayed behind to care for the sheep. And the little boy said, "Is that all? Is that the end of the story?" The old shepherd said, "I don't know the rest. I didn't go see." Some said it was a myth. Wasn't real. It wasn't the Christ child. It wasn't the Son of God. It was just a baby. Others said it was the one the prophets said would come to become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I never went to see. What about you? Have you opened your heart and your mind to the Christ child that was born in Bethlehem? Have you surrendered yourself to Him that you are willingly laying down your life day after day as a living sacrifice to the one who gave everything for you? Heavenly Father, forgive us. We have all sinned. We get so caught up in us and our wants and our needs and our desires. Help us to deny ourselves, to take up our crosses daily, to speak life and truth and words of encouragement, to lift others up, to lift one another up, to place the needs of our neighbors and our coworkers and our friends above our own. Serving you. Jesus, you said, "Whenever you've done it unto the least of these, we've done it unto you." And so there are plenty of opportunities, especially now, to meet your needs, to serve you. Thank you for calling us to service. Thank you for giving everything for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Maybe for you, it's time you've been just like that shepherd. You've avoided going to see the child. You've avoided letting go of the world and grabbing hold of Jesus.